The Thames was loosening, its thin skin of ice cracked open by thousands of small boats, as if spring were on its way. The carriage, with the Derby Arms gilded on the side, forced its way down Whitehall through a tangle of vehicles and pedestrians. "The traffic these days," the Earl of Derby sighed. Eliza Farren leaned across her mother to pull open the blue velvet curtain. The sun splashed her face like water. "The Richmonds must have a marvellous view, right across to St. Paul's and south to Surrey."
"I'd never choose to live anywhere but Mayfair myself," said Derby. "But I suppose the Duke needs to be close to Parliament."
Only a few minutes to Richmond House now. Eliza's stomach was as tight as a nut. Despite the fur-lined mask, her cheekbones ached with the cold. She withdrew into the hood of her cloak and her hands crept deeper into her muff. Had it been a mistake? She'd bought it only yesterday on Oxford Street. It struck her now as ludicrously large, like a fluffy, bloated dog squatting in her lap. Her mother was right that the muff was all the ton, but that didn't mean it would please the people Eliza was going to meet today. How fine the line between fashion and vulgarity, and how easy to stray across it. Perhaps she should leave the thing in the carriage.
"Of course, the one I've been longing to have you meet is the Duchess's half-sister, Mrs. Damer," said Derby. "She's an original, reads Latin better than most of us Etonians. Our parents were enlightened and hired the best of tutors for the girls. I've known Anne Damer all my life and never experienced a moment's tedium in her company."
On Eliza's other side, her mother pressed her lined face to the glass, then recoiled from its bite. The women's feet sat together on the pewter warmer, the daughters in pointed yellow silks, the mothers in brown leather. Over the years, Eliza had pressed some recently fashionable skirts and bodices on Mrs. Farren, calling them cast-offs, but she'd never been able to persuade her to give up her boots. Eliza untied her mask now, tapped her mother's wrist, and mouthed the word mirror. Mrs. Farren fished it out of her skirts, as blank-faced as a pickpocket. Head turned away from Derby, Eliza checked her face in the small oval of glass. Had she rouged a trifle too high for 3 o'clock? The handkerchief was ready in her mother's hand. Eliza gave each cheek a quick wipe. Her stomach made a discreet grumble. She'd had nothing since her morning cup of chocolate, though her mother had brought up toast, devilled eggs and cold beef on a tray. Eliza, who had the benefit of her mother's constant service and company, often reminded herself to be grateful. Mrs. Farren had seen two daughters in the grave already. 15 years ago she'd thrown in her lot with Eliza, the one with a chance of making the family's fortune. Peggy, the other surviving daughter, and a toiling actress up in York, quite understood. Derby was still singing the praises of the Honourable Mrs. Anne Seymour Conway Damer.
"They say she's the first female ever to take up sculpture in a serious way. Did you see her gorgeous spaniels in the last exhibition? You're both such geniuses, I'm rather hoping you might become great friends."
Eliza smiled, doubting it. She'd always been too busy for intimacy. Besides, she wasn't driving to Richmond House to make friends exactly, but to step into a magic circle of protection, to spin herself a tough and glittering web. Today was work, though the kind for which it was impossible to name a fee. In their initial interview, the Duke of Richmond had murmured something about a recompense for Miss Farren's expertise for the great deal of time she would be missing from Drury Lane. But Eliza's instincts hadn't let her down. She looked mildly offended and changed the subject. This had clearly gratified the Duke, a big spender with a frugal streak. So today she would step over the threshold of Richmond House, not as a hired theatre manager, but as a lady. She could mix with these titles and honourables on equal terms, knowing that she hadn't been paid, and that they would know it too. Derby hadn't mentioned the matter. Money was taboo between them, but she guessed he would be pleased.